What's up, everybody? Welcome back to another edition of Black Voices Friday. If you are new, welcome to the show. Appreciate having you. If you're coming back, thanks for coming back. Keep it going. Keep telling people. We appreciate you, too. I'm your man, Jacques Neal, the co-host of Culture Kings here on the Earwolf Network and the curator of this Black Voices Friday. I've been really, really enjoying this so much. It's been such a pleasure to listen to these new shows and amplify them to you guys. We've had so many really dope ones. I've had a lot of really cool people tell me how much they are enjoying it. Big movers in the game in the podcast world are enjoying it, listening to some of these new shows. And you know, I think we're going to keep this thing going. We may do another season of this after this current run comes to a close. But we're not there yet. We got another dope one for you today, y'all. Today's episode, I was very excited when I originally talked to this cat and we were talking about the podcast game, and he was telling me, you know, some of the stuff he wanted to do and the show that he wanted to create. And I'm so happy that he went on and did that. The homie's name is Tanner Oliver, and the show is called Anomaly Homily. It is a show where comedian and host Tanner Oliver brings on a funny friend to talk about offbeat news and a sci-fi themed Q&A. Stuff like, how would you deal with a talking dog? Or should Columbus, Ohio be renamed Flavortown? Or would aliens appreciate Jordans? All these questions and more are pondered on Tanner's Anomaly Homily. Now, I am a huge fan of Black nerd culture. I'm a huge fan of things that generally Black voices are not looked upon to inhabit certain spaces, and they do anyway. And this is definitely one of those shows. So, you know, Tanner is a really funny cat. He's a Michigan guy, so shout out to my Midwest homies. He's been featured at the Limestone Comedy Festival and the 10,000 Laughs Comedy Festival. And when he's not performing, you know, he can be found eating nachos. I've never seen him eat nachos, but I'm sure he can down them. He also produces a show called Rabbit Hole, which is a socially distanced comedy show out of his backyard. And of course, this podcast. I think you're really going to love this episode. This specific episode, though, is a really dope one. It is titled Flavortown. So that question we asked earlier, I think you might get the answer to it in this episode. It is with a funny comedian by the name of Sam Rager, who is one hell of a comic. And Sam and Tanner were in the trenches because they started comedy at the same time. And in this specific episode, they talk about cheese, which is one of my favorite things, Flavortown, alien movies, and what would it be like to be hype man? And apparently Sam got bars, y'all. Sam got bars. So if you ever wanted to hear Sam rap, this is her 8 Mile. All right. So I can't wait for you guys to listen to it. And I can't wait for you guys to enjoy it. If you want to follow Tanner, you can follow Tanner on Instagram at Tanner O Comedy. That is TANNERO Comedy. He also has a website, TannerOComedy.com. And if you have weird news or personal stories and you probably want them to hit them up on the podcast, hit up the podcast by emailing them at anomalyhomily@gmail.com. So that is anomalyhomily@gmail.com. So if you listen to this episode, you love it, and you think you got something for them to talk about, go ahead and email them and get a part of their show. That's another way that you can support these shows, is by participating in the things that they want you to participate in. I'm excited for y'all to listen to this. I'm excited for you guys to keep enjoying Black Voices Friday. It's been such an honor to bring this out. I think that's enough for me. Black voices matter. Black lives matter. Enjoy the episode, everybody. We'll be right back.
I don't. I was like at a point where I'm like, oh, I'm paying a lot of my bills with comedy. And then like it happened. And then I was very sad that I was paying most of my bills or like some of my bills with comedy.
Yeah.
But
I get it. I bought that car with comedy money. And then like probably I think it hit me that COVID was going to be a big deal because before my car broke down and I was just taking lifts to work. Cause like I weld, but it's 10 miles from my house and no, it's not even, it's like 5 miles from my house and you know, it pays well. All I do is just go home from welding. And then the grocery store is on the way. So it's like my life is just one road. Just one. It's been one road for like, for about 4 months. Like it's to the point now where like I've named the deer I run across. And like, oh, there's Randy. There he goes. The little scamp. I'm going to kill you someday. You keep on jumping in the, you know, like, so it's been like that. Have I done comedy? Yeah. You saw, I did like the outdoor shows and junk and like, you know, they pay, but like, man, $75 is like, that's like, you know, a weekend with my girlfriend where I'm like, you want margaritas? Like, you know, like that's, that is not doing damage, you know, to a checkbook, which I mean, man, like I'm going to miss comedy money.
Yeah.
Cause I mean, did I tell you about, before we get into like whatever, okay. Got to do the intro. Here we go. This is Anomaly Homily, everybody. You're listening to it. I'm Tanner Oliver. This is Sam Rager. Me and Sam go way back. She's a fucking OG, man. Like, I think, didn't we start at, like, the same time almost?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I think the first place I met you was at Comedy Zone at Star Southfield.
It was yes. Back when I was,
yeah, it was back when I was wearing those Breaking Bad t-shirts, and I had, like, 3 good one-liners. It was, I was... And yeah,
you had way more. You came out of the gate swinging.
I had something to prove. I think the first Detroit comic I had ever seen live before I like knew him was Josh Adams, and that was just when like I went out with my parents, and my dad was like, "That young boy was pretty good," you know. And like I'm like, "Yeah, I'll get there. Just you know." It's gonna take some time. Yeah, it's gonna take.
Oh man, seeing Josh. Oh, that would be so intimidating. Like wanting to do stand up. Oh
yeah. I mean, I think it was a Motor City. Yeah, it was like him and Ron Taylor. But I found Ron Taylor to be more intimidating because it's like Ron Taylor says. He's like, I look like a pussy, but I am not a pussy. Like you know, like so. It's like, here's this dude that looks like he fucks with Dell computers, and then he just sounds like Bernie Mac. Like, it was just like, holy shit, this is insane. But, topics on Anomaly Homily. I send the guest 3 questions beforehand. I do not know the answers to those questions because, like I said to Sam when she texted me before, do you want the answers to my questions? I was like, nah, given my personality, if I knew them beforehand, if you told me the answers, I'd be like, okay, cool. And then the podcast would be kind of shitty. I mean, because I'm being complete. It's on my end. Like, you'd be like, I did my research. And I'd be like, I already read the book. You know, like, so that's just the way it is. That's just the way it is. But it's Anomaly Homily. This is a half-hour podcast dedicated to the fact that, hey, comics, we can't get together and, like, you know, just bullshit and just talk about bullshit. But that's what we do on this podcast. For a half hour, 45 minutes, we just bullshit, have a good time, and then, you know, roll credits. That's basically all it is. This is for me, and it's for you. So, yeah.
Yay. Thank you. I am glad that we get to catch up.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I'm going to – because I'm dedicated to this format, and also I want to do man, woman until I run out of people. And that way nobody can be like, oh, Tanner's not woke. And then also, like, I just want to spice it up that way. Like, if you ever talk 3 men in a row, it sucks. Honestly. Yeah. Yeah. No, I guess.
It's a lot of testosterone.
Gross. It's like, you don't know what Nair is. No.
I am so happy that a lot of women, well, not like a lot, but more women signed up to do I'm going to try to bring back Cave, the open mic at Cave.
Ah, yay.
we'll see. I'm gonna track I'm gonna track cases and deaths until like Friday, and if they keep on rising, then I'm just gonna call it. But
I've basically given in to the fact that until stand-up comes back, I'm gonna be doing small gigs and I'm gonna be doing this. So, and this is okay. This is great. This is because the thing that upsets me more is I invested in like an actual like podcast equipment, and then I like almost never had the time to set it up or use it and all this other stuff. And then, you know, the pandemic hits and people were just telling me, oh yeah, you can just press record on Zoom and it's like having equipment. I'm like, you gotta be bullshit. And then like, you know, I did the one with Robert Jenkins and I was like, that was so simple. It was just cut, edit, paste, and like what? Like a 5-minute editing job and it's done. So yeah.
Yeah. That sounded like it was recorded like with professional equipment as well.
Well, it is my grandma's computer, and like my $1,700 car, it was barely used as well, okay? I had to download Chrome onto this laptop. He's still struggling with Internet Explorer, just like, it's what it came with, so that's what we're doing. Downloading is evil. I've been to the movies. You seen it? I would never download a car. Oh, God damn it. That's so funny. Stupid. Okay, so first part of Anomaly Homily, it is tradition that the guests bring an offbeat or colorful news story that they find entertaining. Then I will tell you one, and then we'll just bullshit about it. So what is your offbeat news story, Sam?
Well, speaking of beats, Swiss scientists have been using sonochemistry.
Okay.
To see the reaction sound waves have on chemical reactions. And okay. Since cheese making is technically a chemical reaction.
Oh, no way.
They have found that hip hop music makes cheese taste better.
Holy fuck yeah. Oh my God. White people stop arguing. There you go. There you go.
They took cheese wheels and like put them in separate barrels in like separate rooms and like played one song on like a constant loop, and the cheese that was like in the same room as the hip hop music, they had scientists both examine it as well as culinary experts, and it had much more appealing taste and smell.
Did they say, oh, and smell? Oh, that's hilarious. They're real scientists about it. They're just like, we can't just taste it. We gotta. Gotta get that au jus, you know what I mean? Jesus Christ. Oh, man. To be a cheese scientist, like, what are the qualifications? Like, first off, you can't be lactose intolerant. I'm already out of the game. That's so disappointing. And honestly, like, can you imagine, like, meeting somebody and there's, like, I'm a scientist. And you're like, oh, cool, atoms and quasars and quarks and such. And you're like, nah, cheese.
Yeah.
Oh, that'd be so fun.
I wonder if they like have disappointed or enticed more people, like in conversations with that.
I feel like with normal people, you would entice people because everybody likes cheese. But what if they're from like a family of like their great grandfather was like Einstein or some shit? And then they gotta go to family reunions. And it's like, oh, what do you do? It's like, well, my brother is like, he's like a car scientist. You know, he does like, you know. And then my sister's a rocket scientist. What are you? I'm a cheese scientist. Like. that's cool. That's awesome. Well, did they say like what type of like tracks they had? Was there like a Nas cheese, like like a cheese you can only eat alone? Because let's be honest, you can't listen to Nas with people around. You can, but people would be like, man, what's wrong with you? Did she hurt you that bad? So, like a Kanye cheese that turns you into an asshole.
Oh my God, I would love if they introduced a line like that. I wonder what the other genres they played as well.
Oh man. Oh yo, you know who would make some weird ass taste in cheese? I bet Sinead O'Connor. okay. You know what I would try? I would try like a nice Lord Cheddar.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah.
What about Kid Rock, Colby Jack?
Holy fuck. Straight out of South Haven. Oh my God. If you're not local and listening to this, South Haven is where a lot of people with F-150s who like the dip live. There we go.
Oh, you know what? That's probably what it would be, like a Velveeta, like a very fake cheesy. Yeah.
Where it's just like, please warm tube. God bless Big Rock. Oh man, have you ever seen him live? I haven't.
No.
Okay. All right. You can still be my friend then. Oh man. Nah, I mean, yo, the man, he knows his business model. He's just like, I'm gonna do $50 concert tickets because, like, let's be honest, if you have the kind of scope that Kid Rock has, you can sell like album a year with the $50 concert tickets, and you still get to live in Bloomfield, which is, I mean, hey, what are you doing? What are you doing wrong? Nothing. Absolutely nothing. I don't know. Yeah. That's insane. Speaking of cheese, I have an offbeat news story. This is like in tandem. Like I do the offbeat, you do your offbeat, I do my offbeat, and then we just vibe on the other two. But speaking of cheese, did you know that they want to change the name of Columbus, Ohio to one of its most famous celebrities that has come out of Columbus? This is recent news within the past 2 weeks. City Council is considering and voting on changing the name of Columbus, Ohio to Flavortown because Guy Fieri is from Columbus, Ohio.
Oh my gosh. Yes.
Fuck
yeah. Are they going to, how would they vote on this? Would they put it on like a public ballot or does the City Council vote on it?
I feel like they're going to vote on it, but like, yo, if I was Guy Fieri, like that's the ultimate legacy. Like, fuck being on TV. Everybody can lose tapes, you know. A town named after you? Oh my God. Fucking, you know, Tannerville, fucking Ragertown. Welcome to Ragertown. We make ball bearings and cuckoo clocks. Fuck yeah.
How? Yeah. What else were they considering? Do you know?
They were considering, okay, like Columbus, I mean, as we all know, America's going through its throes of like, what's racist? What's racist? We should get rid of Miss Butterworth and Miss Jemima. Like, you know, it's all these like little baby steps when really you can just do the right thing. But they're getting rid of the Columbus statue, and in getting rid of the Columbus statue, somebody brought up like, well, if we don't have Columbus statue in the, you know, it's a real caveman logic where it's like, if we don't have Columbus statue in the middle of town, then what we called, you know? So people are considering naming it after Ben Franklin, which, I mean, I guess that's cool, but I mean, he's no better. He's sure he was a U.S. president, and yes, he did let his slaves go, but after his death, which is terrible. I never admired that about any U.S. president. There's just like, I'll let my slaves go after I'm dead because it's like, nah, I still want them to like cater to me in life. So
yeah, they could legit, like that's basically them saying over my dead body.
Exactly. I'm pretty sure you could quote every U.S. president, even up to George Bush, which is like, have you ever said that phrase, sir? Well, I guess I have. Over my dead body. I don't know. Oh, man.
I love Flavortown, though. I hope they legit say that so people can say, I'm going to Flavortown. And
Flavortown. Woo! Oh man, like our main export is donkey sauce now, right?
We've performed in Flavortown a lot.
Oh my God. What's the furthest you've ever been for comedy?
I think the Savage Henry Festival in California.
Mm-hmm. Were you there with the forest fires and junk when Pat and Robert were
Yeah, so
So how
I'm
was
so
that?
happy. Keith and I left like the day before, and I was like, "Is that smoke?" And they're like, "No, it's probably just like pollution." I was like, "I'm pretty sure that's smoke driving through the woods." And then yeah, Pat and Rob were like texting us the next day, being like, "The you can see the flames. It's like almost touching our car."
Oh my
Yeah, and I was worried about them so much.
God. Boy. Yeah, and I mean, obviously, like when you see shit like that, like I've never been in a forest fire situation. I've been through an earthquake that lasted maybe like 15 seconds. But like I was more afraid when my mom told me that she experienced the earthquake in San Francisco when she was pregnant with me. And she was just like, yeah, I was at the top of the stairs and then the world just went, nope. And she's like, I almost fell down the stairs. So, yeah,
Yeah.
no, my mom took one for the team. She rode down the stairs ass first because she was just like, if I tilt in any way, this is gonna be awful. So shout out to moms. Thanks for not just
Yeah, she's a
eating shit
quick
on
thinker.
stairs. I mean, yo, man, like there have been plenty of times. I don't know if your family dynamic works like this. If your parents ever told you they dropped you, because mine have told me they've dropped me 3 times at least. Okay.
My dad was super, I mean, he's gotten a lot better now. He's also bedridden. But
Great.
he was growing up, he was very physically abusive. So I don't think dropping me was like
I feel like I don't want to laugh at that, but you laughing at that, so it's like you're like, ha, 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 join me in the dance of life, and I'm like, I don't want to use my feet. I don't want to use my. I'm in a wheelchair. I'm okay. Well, fuck. So I'm my bad.
No, you were good.
All right.
My sister got me like stuck in like one of like a doll stroller,
Oh no.
and so that happened. And then a mall Santa, they let a mall Santa hold me when I was like a few months old, and the mall Santa dropped me.
Oh no.
But yeah,
Oh.
I for them personally, yeah. My mom never dropped me, but yeah, there's the whole dad thing where I think an accidental dropping would
Wow.
have been kindness.
He meant that shit. He meant it
Yeah.
with a capital mean. Right? Yeah. Oh my God. Oh, okay. I also have been watching a lot of movies with aliens in them recently. I watched Space Jam with my girlfriend 2 weeks ago, and we both watched it. And like, look, Space Jam, you come in with these rose-colored glasses because you're like, it's the greatest, one of the greatest movies from my childhood. And then you watch it with adult eyes, and you're like, oh, they just get right into the basketball game. There's no build up. The dramatic quality of this movie is bullshit. This is basically Nike's big campaign to sell Jordans and to make them like a legend. I get it. That's fine. But we also watched The Iron Giant yesterday, and she loved that. And that's like one of my favorite movies. You ever
I've
seen it?
never seen it. No.
Oh my God. Do you have HBO? Okay, it's on HBO. You gotta watch it with Santiago. Like seriously, like it's a bit of a tearjerker because it's Jennifer Aniston plays the mom. It's about this little boy named Hogarth who discovers like a giant iron robot that like fell from space in his little town of Maine. But like the robot is a good guy, but the government is convinced he's a bad guy, and this is him trying to like protect the robot. It's very good. It's very, very good. It's like one of my favorite movies. But technically, I consider the Iron Giant to be an alien because I mean he did come from space.
Yeah,
So,
I would
if
still
we're,
count it.
yeah, I still count it. So I wanna know, and I did ask you, what are your top three aliens in movies and why?
I am sad because I forgot about Space Jam and I might have listed that. But now I'm skeptical after you said it's way different with the doll eyes.
It is.
I really like Men in Black.
Ah, classic.
Yeah.
Classic.
I haven't seen the new one, but I loved the original one. I watched it with my parents when it came out. We got it from Blockbuster.
Oh my God. Ah, memories. Memories.
Yeah. I loved it. I used the reference when with like newborns, because they remind me of the little alien in the necklace. Like the key to the galaxy is in Orion's belt. Because the little like alien that's like in the, that eventually dies. I mean, I don't hope that people's kids die, but like the, the little alien with like the big head and the big, big eyes. Yeah. Like it just reminds me of newborns a lot.
Yeah. He looks like a fetus. Like,
just... yeah.
Also, like when he was, okay, my dad said this when we watched Men in Black, because when the alien was like dying in the dude's head, he was like, you know, like he's dying now and he looks terrible, but man, if he was alive, he looks like a fun alien. Just like a tiny little guy. Just a tiny little guy in a man, just like, ah, I'm getting away with it. I'm getting away with it. And nobody knows that my name, real name is Bleeblork. Or like, you know, just. Oh no, I love that. I love the talking dog, because it was like oh god, what's that that puppet, like Blank the Insult dog? Yeah.
Was it Riot or something like that, or Triumph?
Triumph. It was like Triumph the Insult Dog. Yeah. Was like a real dog. It was just like, nah, Will Smith, you're not all that, you know. I don't know. It's also, you got to see Will Smith. Like, that was when Will Smith could do no wrong, you know?
Yeah, I almost said Independence Day as well.
Independence Day is a good pick, but also, and wasn't Independence Day rated R?
I think so. I mean, it has a lot of death in it, too, whereas, like, Men in Black, like, so, you know, some aliens die, but they don't have as much, like, you know, you're not as emotionally invested.
Yeah, it's like, okay, I'm more emotionally invested when I see like a body fall, like in Mulan, like when they discover the burnt out village. Like as a kid, I was like, oh no, they shouldn't sing anymore after this. and they didn't actually. There were no more musical numbers after the village burned to the ground. Fun Mulan fact. But at the same time, I was just like, all right, I'm way more like, I'm way cooler with just watching some terrifying eight-legged thing just explode into jelly than, you know, watching some dude just be like, mom, ah, you know, like some Training Day shit, you know. I'm okay. I'm fine. So Men in Black, number one. What was number two?
An Ewok adventure.
An Ewok adventure. What is that?
Have you seen the Star Wars movies?
Yeah.
Do you remember when they were on Endor and they had like the Ewoks, like the little bears?
Yeah.
So they had their own side movie made.
Oh, no way.
They used like the same costumes and characters, and it was called An Ewok Adventure. And it was amazing. Very little dialogue, but they communicated with like their cute little actions. And I had my parents play that movie for me on repeat on a little VHS tape. I had Ewok stuffed animals, and whoa. Yeah,
obsessed.
The humans in it were these two little kids who were annoying, and you almost hoped that they lost the battle, but no, the Ewoks helped them win, of course, because the Ewoks are nice, and they're better. They have the better spirits than I do.
Yeah. Like, the Ewoks are willing to do people's hair. Are you willing to do a person's hair?
I am sad because they almost ate Han Solo in I'm a terrible Star Wars fan. The one with the Endor battle. So they almost eat them, but yet they didn't have like the urge to eat these kids. And I'm like, that's like, that's like veal right there.
Yeah. Also, like, let's be honest, everyone at one point in their life has wondered what teddy bear would taste like. Like, you know, forbidden snacks and shit. Do you know what forbidden snacks are?
No.
Oh my God. Okay. Forbidden snacks. It's like a thing. Just look it up online. Forbidden snacks are things that look edible, but you can't eat them. So like if you saw like rusted paint falling off the ceiling and kind of like a flap, it kind of looks like a burrito, but you can't eat it. You can't eat it, but it looks like a burrito, like just rusted paint falling in kind of like a little flap, and it just like little rust spots. It looks like the little brown marks on a tortilla, but I would never eat a solid paint chip of rusted paint. I would never do that. That is why it's a forbidden snack. It looks like food, but if you ate it, it would fucking kill you. Like,
oh, I want to look up these images now.
Oh yeah, no, look them up. Look, please look them up. They are like, what is it? There's like a certain shark breed where like their eggs look like fruit gushers, and but like if you, no, it's a stingray. Like, but if you eat the eggs, they'll fucking kill you from the inside out. So yeah,
ooh.
Yeah, no, it's forbidden snacks. It's a little cave. It's a little cave to go down.
Come on. My third one was The Faculty.
Oh, is that the movie with Usher in it?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I haven't seen that movie forever. Usher, baby. Oh, my God.
It holds, like, a strong place in my heart just because it's very late 90s, early 2000s nostalgia.
Yeah.
In like a teen movie. It was really awkward because I saw it with my dad, and there's like a lot of nudity in it.
Nah, you know.
Yeah. I think it was like maybe 12 when it came out.
Mm-hmm.
But I liked that it was edgy. It had a nice soundtrack. The alien in it, was, do you remember the blonde like antagonist from it? Or
yeah,
no?
Yeah. I forget the name. I forget, like, I've not seen that movie in like 8 years. Like, it's, I would have to watch it again, but literally the only reason that I went to see that, I didn't go with the intent of seeing The Faculty. I went with my I went with my cousins because, like, I don't know, I wanted to see, like, I was young back then. I wanted to see like a kid's movie, you know? But they were like, we want to go see this movie with Usher in it. And then, like, my kid's movie was sold out because it was a Saturday. And my aunt was just like, well, you like Usher, right? And I'm like, well, I can't dance like him, but I guess I'll see what he's got. And, you know, like, that's how selfish I was as a kid. I was just like, I can't dance like him, so I'm just going to pout this entire time. And then started getting good, like, 20 minutes in. And I was like, all right, okay, this is all right. This is okay, you know.
Yeah, it was compelling, and the antagonist in it, like, was able to get so far in it, mm-hmm. Because she was, like, the wholesome, wink, person, which I feel like the kind of character that she was, like, portraying is definitely, like, if she were to be pretending that same person today, she would definitely be like an All Lives Matter.
Yeah.
Like, a very like, can't we all just get along?
I made a pie. Everybody can have a piece. I'll cut it in equal triangles. Like that kind of shit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. No.
Yeah. She was very annoying, and it's like at the end of the movie, you're like kind of glad that she was the alien, so they have to kill her.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I'm sad that Elijah Wood was the last person standing.
Yeah, yeah, but I mean, like, that set him up for so many, like, that set him up for the Lord of the Rings, like, the movie where, like, let's be honest, Elijah Wood played a character in Frodo that, if you really like chalk it up to like, okay, if you don't know why Frodo went to go live with the elves, because Frodo needed help after all that bullshit that Middle Earth put him through. He needed some magical psychiatry, just like some, just put me to sleep, just let me dream of of things that are clear and things with wings. Like, I don't want to ever think about going to Mordor ever fucking again. Like, that's and if you really pick apart The Lord of the Rings, and it's like, why did Frodo have to go? Because he didn't want to end up like his uncle. That's why. Just uncle sees a piece of jewelry and he's like, oh shit, is it? I can't believe I lost that shit. It's crack.
You know? Oh my gosh. I wonder like what that ring would go for at like that American pawn like store. Like
an authentic ring from the movie?
No, like if they like tried to like if they had like a if there was some kind of universe where like the characters,
you mean like the real ring, just like yo we oh yo that's fucking cool, yeah. Okay, I'm Les Pawn. This is a ring that's owned by a Dark Lord. He controls these things that look like half bats, half people. I don't really know how much I'm gonna get off of it. I also resell guns. Like, just
so you don't have to have an attitude with me. Like,
I miss Hardcore Pawn. Fuck Pawn Stars. Hardcore Pawn was hilarious because it's just, it like, I don't know if you've ever been to that pawn shop at all.
No.
Oh, it was, okay. So the flagship store was run by the daughter, and then the one that was in Pontiac was run by the son. And I think when the dad either retired, I don't know if the dad's dead or if he's just retired, but when he retired, he put all the ownership of all the stores into like his daughter's name, and his son like flipped the fuck out. He was just like, I've been doing this. And it was just like, hey man, you know, you're still co-partner, right? You know, it's still like some 50-50 shit. You'll be fine. Honestly, okay, do you want complete ownership of pawn shops? Three pawn shops? Come on, man. You really want to be your father? Do you really, if you think about it for 10 minutes, do you really want to be your dad? If the answer is yes, you're so, it's, that's sad. That's sad, man. Really? You just want to be like, I don't know, lady. I can only do $20 on this bicycle. Like, just, and that's it?
Yeah.
I guess if you were like raised around it,
yeah, you'd feel less bad about like underpaying someone who's trying to make their rent that month.
Yeah, this is like, I'm here to pawn my $2,000 MacBook. Best I can do is $200. What? Like, you know? Nah, man. Ugh. Yeah, I've only bought two things from a pawn shop. And after the second thing, I bought a bicycle seat, which was very inexpensive. It was a bike that had been in the store forever. And I was like, I don't want the whole bike. I just want the seat. And the bike itself was like $70. And I was like, can I just have the comfy seat? And they were like, all right, $10. I'm like, no way. They're picking parts off bikes. You guys are assholes. You mean this person finally comes to pick it up? They're like, what happened to the seat? Ah, you know, just business like this.
Yeah. Oh.
Have you ever been to a pawn shop?
No. I've wanted to go, but I've never been.
Nah. I mean, honestly, with COVID... Yeah, nah, it's the store full of everybody else's shit.
Yeah.
You know it's covered in like nervous sweat because they didn't really want to take it to the pawn shop. So, nah, I mean, that's fine. I'm okay. I don't need that. So, the final part. You're like, I'm making these, every time I make an announcement, you're like, oh, here it comes the third part. Nah. So we're going through COVID right now, and we got a good governor here in Michigan. I don't give a fuck what anybody says. Big Gretch, just, you know, pulling out the buffs, letting these people know through executive orders that they got to start wearing masks and, you know, start behaving and, you know, oh no, you're going to come in my office with guns. Well, you know what? Why don't you, like, that's the thing that really pissed me off. It's just like, open carry's dumb as fuck. Like, I worked at a gun store. Open carry's stupid. I would much rather see it, the imprint of it under your shirt and, like, think of things that could happen instead of like seeing what you really got and just being like, oh, that's a nice trigger on that. Bet he could fucking down people in like five, you know, like that kind of shit. So I don't know. It's just for me. I mean, and I don't know like how you feel about, how do you feel about guns, Sam?
I am not a fan of like military grade. I mean, if people want their own weapons, that's like their own business, but I'm not a fan of like open carry. I also don't think like people need an AR-15.
Yeah.
I don't want to own one myself because, of like my issues with depression.
Hell yeah. Not like, you know yourself, like that's good.
I want to learn how to like use a slingshot.
Oh hell yeah. Really Robin Hood out here, just like I got me a brace of conies.
Like if I could get like rocks, because like rocks you can find pretty, you can launch a lot of things, whereas like bullets are kind of a limited resource.
Yeah No, I'm for that. You want to be like if you're going to kill something, you're like, I want to kill it the way a child would, like an 8-year-old. Cruelly but with intent. I don't want to go to some store. I just want to visit a creek. An old stick in my bendy strap. Pop some rabbits' heads off.
I've been like looking for good sticks on my walks. I'm like, that's.
Yeah, you put that on a shirt. I'm Sam Rager. I've been looking for good sticks lately. Oh, hell yeah. I asked you to pretend for a second. Pretend that you are a rapper and Big Gretch is a rapper. You have to bring Big Gretch on the stage after she has completely brought Michigan's numbers down. You know, she's the savior of us all. All those people that doubted our foxy governor. Because let's be honest, Gretchen Whitmer, it's kind of hot. It's kind of like, you know, just to me, like, look, I don't know about you. Did you hear about those, like, rumors they're trying to spread about Gretchen Whitmer?
No.
Okay, so they were saying that, like, I don't know why Republicans try to, like, shame people for it. But they were like, oh, did you hear? In high school, Gretchen Whitmer used to have anal sex with the basketball team, and they called her Stretching Gretchen. It's like, oh, okay, all right. Oh, just because she does butt stuff, she's not qualified to be a governor anymore. Look here, sir, the fact that she does butt stuff, I'm going to vote for her again. I don't care. You heard it here, everybody. You heard it here. Like, I mean, because let's be honest, like, I wouldn't do it. Therefore, she's brave. So, I don't know. And also, you know, compared to like other governors in other states, you know, she's not Florida's governor. That guy doesn't give up.
Yeah. Oh my God. She is just sacrificing people.
Yeah.
At that point, it's like almost like he's trying to, like, there's some altar in a closet and he's like trying to keep his position, and that's how he keeps it. It's just sacrificing his own citizens.
Yeah. Like he has like a magic mirror like behind his desk where he's like, is that enough people? And like, no, not at all. I am not satisfied with this old flesh. Bring me in sync. So I asked you to pretend that Gretchen Whitmer is a rapper. You're bringing her on stage, and you have to introduce Big Gretch the rapper on stage. So what you got, Sam? How's it going to be? What's up?
When I...
Oh, yeah. Ask the white woman to rap. Anyway.
I YouTubed Hype Men.
Here comes the beat. Oh, that was worth every fucking, that was so fucking funny. They say I'm rap for me. Here we go.
When I say big, you say Gretch. Big
Gretch.
Big
Gretch.
She's been saving the state with her executive orders. A few people hate her, but most adore her. There's protests in Lansing to reopen the state, but we don't want mouth breathers to determine our fate.
Oh, shit.
Some restaurants think that they can clown, but she's about to close those bars down.
Oh, fuck. What about you, Grand Rapids? Fuck yeah.
I messed up on that. I'm going to, sorry.
We'll be back. Go.
Okay, so they think that they can clown, but she's about to close bars as she's laying them down. Oh. So you better mask up before more cases erupt.
Fuck yeah.
I am not a good hype man.
Everything rhymed. Everything rhymed. You're not out here like Migos is like Hannah Montana, you know, like.
But that's just like calling Dr. Seuss a hype man.
Dr. Seuss beat his wife. Fuck that dude.
Yeah, and have you, okay, so I tried to make a sketch about it and it turned out terribly. But he was like, have you Googled Dr. Seuss racist?
Oh, yeah, that guy, yeah. He, no black people, no Negroes. I don't do it in my books. But yeah, no, he's an a-hole.
Oh, yeah, he did, like, ad copy for, like, places, and his illustrations of both black people and Asian community, terrible.
Oh, yeah, no. As a side note, my aunt used to collect racist memorabilia. And when she died, we like went through her apartment and she had like a bulk case of this toothpaste called Darkie toothpaste. And the logo is a black caricature with like the reddest lips, the darkest skin, and the whitest teeth, right? And then there was a note that my aunt left in the box that was like, use sparingly. It's terrible, but it actually does a good job at keeping your teeth white. This is insane. It's like, I kind of feel bad. Yeah. So know that, America. If you ever come across a racist toothpaste called Darkie toothpaste, it's terrible, but it does the job. So, I don't know. Oh, as you will.
When was that from?
It's for, she would like look on, okay, she would like look on like eBay for like that junk, you know, there was like, you know, places where she would get it, but, you know, not so much like, it just kind of came across her. It wasn't like a thing where it's like, oh, I'm actively looking for this Darkie toothpaste. Like, it was just like a collector would call her and be like, hey, I got this Darkie toothpaste. I don't really want it. $60. And she's like, oh, sold. Like, you know, so yeah. Yeah. There was that, but I like the better side of my aunt where she gave me like a copy of like the autobiography of Malcolm X for Christmas. And then I unwrapped it and she touched my wrist. She was like, look, when you read this book, you're going to be angry at white people for about a month, but it's not their fault. It's their parents' fault. So like, just control yourself. Don't just be like, no, she's like, I don't want you to be like one of those hoteps. It's just like, I only talk to black people and that's it. Like, you know, she's like, cause then you're limiting yourself really, you know, and then there's no discussion, but I don't know. That was fucking amazing, Sam. That was, you got bars. All right. And the beginning was hilarious because you were like, ahem. Here I go. I liked it a lot. Any projects you're working on you want to let the people know about before we get out of here?
I am about to start a podcast. I haven't recorded any episodes yet because I'm trying to get the skeleton of it in order, but it's called My Eulogies, Please.
Okay.
And I'm going to have a couple comics eulogize fictional characters.
Okay.
Like Cruella DeVille or Mr. Peanut.
Okay.
So that's...
Fuck yeah. All right. I'm down with that. So, like, can I be on the eulogy?
Yes.
Okay, awesome.
Thank you. Cool. I am excited. I was like, I hope you'll want to do it, because I'm sure, like, it'll freak some people out. Like, okay.
You're like, what? Well, I don't want to imagine Napoleon Dynamite dying. Like, Napoleon Dynamite dying would just be like, this isn't fair, and then that's it.
I so for the skeleton of it, I'm torn between, because I think it'll be like easier, people can like record it on their own time and they don't have to like worry about
I'll just send you the audio. I can see that. Yeah.
But if like I should send an audio clip once it's put together to everyone, just so they can be like, oh, I think that I would interrupt this person during theirs and say that, and I can like edit it together. Or if like, would you want to like have like a group Zoom call if you were on it?
I mean, look, either way it works for me. I'm down. I ain't doing nothing but welding until they got a vaccine. All right. So yeah, that's what I'm doing.
I'm like making so many things you're going to have to edit out. I'm so
sorry. Nah, I mean, like, honestly, in terms of editing, I put free as possible. Like, I'm not even going to edit out the part where we talked about your dad. I'm not going to do that, because I want people to be like, oh, Tanner can be uncomfortable? That was because, like, as soon as I brought it up, I was just like, oh, no. Oh, God. Oh, if I could shit right now, I would. Oh, fuck. Oh, no. But she's laughing, so I guess it's fine. Like, oh, I felt so bad. I was like, holy shit.
No, you are fine. I'm excited for once we're past this.
Oh, yeah.
Something that – does your grandma have a book written about her yet?
No. She was writing a book about herself, but I honestly don't think it's going to be published, because, like, to make it a good enough – thing where I would feel comfortable, like, oh, this is good, I would have to do what, what's that? You know that song Pretty Wings at all? Mm-mm. Okay, it's a song, I'm gonna look, I forget who it's by, hold on. It's a song by Maxwell called Pretty Wings, right? To me, it's like the epitome of what an R&B song should be. It's like, 4 minutes and 30 seconds long. It is, from top to bottom, one of the best songs I've ever heard. But there's a reason for that, because it took him 5 years to write that one song. Like, he literally went to his record label and they were like, when can we expect your next song? He's like, 5 years, deal with it. And then he delivers Pretty Wings and they're like, whoa, okay, all right. This makes me want to call my dad. Like, it's like, that song is really good. You should listen to it. But, yeah, thank you so much, Sam. Oh, my God, we did it. That was Anomaly Homily, everybody. So check out Sam's podcast. What are you going to – you gonna have it on, like, Apple Podcasts or what? Like,
We shall see. It might be put on a new podcast network that's about getting ready to start, which – I am waiting to hear back about that, but hopefully, fingers crossed.
All right. Dope. And the podcast is called what again?
My Eulogies, Please.
All right. Listen to My Eulogies, Please by Sam Rager, coming soon.
Thank you for having me, Tanner.